As you brothers have just heard, we requested that I say a few words and give myself as well as you some advice. Inshallah, I want to advise you about a very important issue in the life of the Muslim, a very important issue as it relates to the deen of al-Islam. And that is the issue of the makan, of the lisan in al-Islam, and how people have to be careful about what they are saying. And everyone should recognize and understand that the lisan, or the tongue, is a tremendous ni'mah from Allah that He has bestowed upon everyone. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. So Allah mentioned, have we not given the human being two eyes to see where he's going, to be able to drive, to stay out of the street? If he didn't have two eyes, his hayat, such as the ghayb, the hayat that he's living is going to be different if he can't see. It's a ni'mah from Allah. And we gave him a tongue and two lips. So the ability to tell people how you feel on the inside is a tremendous ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. But you have to take care of this ni'mah. You have to give Allah the shukr that it is hot for the ni'mah of the lisan. And you have to take care of the amanah that Allah has given to you as it relates to the lisan. And the ulama of Islam, according to this ayah that I just mentioned, they said, for the labib, the one who is intelligent, he will see, as Allah mentioned in this ayah, that He gave people one tongue and He gave them two ears, with an indication that as Muslims we should spend more time listening and less time talking. Spend more time listening and less time talking. For verily, everything that a person says, his tongue is going to be dealt with. This tongue of ours, it has a mas'uliyah. You're going to be held accountable for it. Yawm al-qiyamah. Allah عز وجل mentioned in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. So anyone who says anything, you're going to be held responsible for yawm al-qiyamah. وَلَا تَصْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمَعَ وَالْبَطْرِ والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا.
If there was someone driving a Suzuki car parked in front of the pharmacy, they are locking the now. That's all. Let's remove it. Yeah.
So now, if we were to look at our deen, one of the things that impressed me about the religion of Islam before I became a Muslim is that I saw how al-Islam addresses every aspect of the life of the human being. As a Christian, this wasn't the case. It didn't address the everyday aspect. We all know, when we're Christians, how to marry, how to get divorced, how to have a baby. That in itself is a clear proof. This is not a divinely revealed religion. It's not the religion of Baha, the way it is right now, because it doesn't address the issues of the people, whereas in al-Islam, everything is addressed. If we take as a minute example, the example of our shoes. Our shoes. The shoes have ahkam in al-Islam. Something as simple as your shoes, that you can write on your shoes and make salat in your shoes. And He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَارِفُ الْيَهُودِ صَلُّوا فِي نَعَالِكُمْ. Be different from the Jews. Pray in your shoes. The shoes have ahkam. When you come to the masjid, look under your shoes. Make sure you have no najasat. So, if the shoes have ahkam, and it has a mazan, a makan in al-Islam, then clearly, this lisan is going to have some ahkam. And it's going to have a greater makan in al-Islam. So just to share with you brothers, the position of the lisan in al-Islam. You want to know what the position of your tongue is in al-Islam, we don't have to look very far. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated in this hadith inside the Bukhari, Someone asked him, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyul Muslimin Afdal? قال من سلم المسلمون من يده ولسانه. Ya Rasulullah, which one of the Muslims here is the best Muslim from amongst us? We want to know. Who's the best Muslim? He said, the one who be Muslims are free from the harm that comes from his hand and the harm that comes from his lisan. So you want to know the makan of Islam, of the lisan? The one who takes care of his lisan, he's from the best of the Muslims. His Islam is up there because he takes care of his lisan. And the one who doesn't take care of his tongue, his Islam is faulty, is lower, he's not from the best of the people. You want to know the makan of the lisan and of Islam? The Prophet he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من يزمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة. Whoever from amongst you can guarantee me that you'll take care of your tongue and you'll take care of your private part, then I guarantee you Jannah. That's the praise of the lisan of al-Islam. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the dhamin, the guarantor, the securer. For the one who takes care of his tongue, he promised him al-Jannah, that you will go to paradise. So the place of the tongue in al-Islam, ikhwati fillah, it is tremendous. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah, and he believes in the last day, then let him speak good or let him remain silent. So, ikhwati fillah, if a person has iman, if a person has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person believes that Allah created him, and he gave him the lisan, and he gave him the basar, and he gave him quwa, and he gave him al-aql, وَفَتَعَ لَهُ دُنْيَاهُ وَوَسَّعَ عَلَيْهِ فِي مَعِيشَتِهِ. The person believes that Allah did all that, and he believes that he's going to die, he believes in Yawm al-Qiyamah, iman in Allah, in the last day, two of the arkans of al-iman. Then, let that individual speak good, or let him remain silent. If you have that iman in Allah in the last day. So the tongue is connected to all of that in the religion of al-Islam. So therefore, what I want to do is, I want to take this time out to remind myself and to remind all of you that we have to be careful, ikhwan, about the things that we're saying. Because saying something with your lisan, as it was shown in the hadith, it can destroy you. It doesn't take a lot for you to be destroyed by what comes out of your mouth. One word is enough. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَتَكَلَّمْ بِالْكَلِمَةِ لَا يَرَى بِهَا بَأْسًا فَهُوَ يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ جَهَنَّمْ سَبَعِينَ خَرِيفًا. A man may say something from the word that he doesn't consider there's anything wrong with it, but because he spoke with that word, he'll be thrown in the hellfire for 70 years. He has a misunderstanding with his Muslim brother. He wants him to give him money or something. The Muslim brother is known to be Bakhil. So he says to him, you Jew, Yahudi. That's similar to him saying to that individual, he's a kafir. And when the person says to another Muslim, ya kafir, that kalima goes up and it shakes the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jalla. One kalima. And then it comes back and it falls on one of them. And it's only one kalima. A person doesn't need a lot to destroy himself with what he says. A person comes to our message here, he doesn't agree with what you agree. You're a person who says, jihad, for an example, is any and everything. You're a person who says, because she doesn't wear hijab, she's a kafir. You're a person who gives for power easily. But that individual doesn't agree with you, with knowledge. So you say, he's with the CIA. He's with the FBI. He's with the MI5. Meaning he's a munafiq. That kalima is a serious kalima in Islam. To say to someone, ya kafir, ya munafiq, these are serious kalimat that will destroy you. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, Abdullah, al-Khumairat, bintu Siddiq, radiallahu anhumah, she said, Ya Rasulullah, halkuka min Safiya kaza. Ya Rasulullah, it's enough that Safiya, and she went like this, يعني إنها قصيرة كانت قصيرة رضي الله عنها. يا رسول الله حسبك من صفية كذا. صفية is enough. She's a short lady. She was jealous. رسول الله عائشة صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عائشة اتق الله لقد قلت كلمة لو مزجت بماء البحر لمزجته. عائشة اتق الله. You said a word that she didn't even say. You said a word that if it was mixed with the water of the ocean, it would have polluted the ocean. That kalima would have made the ocean change into something that was dirty and not acceptable. The one kalima. So what about the husband who gets mad at the wife, the wife gets mad at the husband, and from their anger, the wife says, Zani. The husband says, Zaniya. And it's just their ghadab made them say that kalima. So one word, ikhwan, is enough to destroy you. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا تَكَادُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ يَتَفَتَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَيَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضِ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضِ وَتَخِيرُ الْجِبَالِ هَدَّا أَنْ جَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا. And those people say that Allah has taken a son. Irullah. Kalima is just basit. Isa, Irullah. I don't believe in Allah. There's no God. And those people say that Ar-Rahman has taken a son. Verily, you have said a serious thing that the heavens are about to split open, and the earth is about to split open, and the mountains are about to rent asunder. That they would claim that Ar-Rahman has taken a son. Not a lot of kalam. They don't have to talk with a lot of kalam. One kalima is enough to destroy you. So I just want to remind you, how was the lisan al-nabawi? How was the lisan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way that we should be? The lisan of Rasulullah was described for us sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam by Jabir ibn Abdullah. قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طويل الصمت قليل الضحك. Jabir said Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم our Nabi and our Qudwa and our Imam and our Habib الذي لا نغر فيه. We don't go overboard in him. He's an abd. He said, Rasulullah used to spend long periods of time of silence. He used to remain silent for a long period of time. And he used to laugh moderately. He wasn't a person who laughed a lot. إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَفْرْ تُدَحْكُ فَإِنَّ كَفْرْ تُدَحْكُ تَمِيتُ الْقَلُوبَ. Beware of laughing too much. Over laughing, excessive laughing will cause your heart to die. He used to laugh. They would pray Salatul Fajr. He would make his zikr, and he wouldn't leave until the sun came up. And then the people would start talking about what they did in Jahiliyyah. And they would laugh. And they would look. فَإِذَا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُبْتَسِمْ. They would look, and Rasulullah was smiling, showing his approval. He was a balanced person. But he didn't fall on his back and open his mouth. You could see his molars kicking his feet in the air. He didn't sit to watch Eddie Murphy. He didn't sit to watch comedians, to laugh at comedians. And some of the comedians, like the Muslim girl who's from Pakistan, from this country, she makes jokes to put Islam down, to make the kuffar happy. Yeah, I was going around the Kaaba, and someone pinched my bottom. It must have been Allah. That's kufr. That's kufr. And the person who says it runs the risk of going outside of the deen. So, what is this profession, Muslim comic, or the Muslim listening to the comedy of Kufar? Laughing like that will destroy your heart. So he used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spend long periods of time being quiet. Now, we have those people from the Ahlul Tasawwuf, who they take a hadith like this, and they say, like some people who I met when I was a new Muslim, they used to tell us, we're going to spend the next 3 days not talking. 72 hours being quiet. You can't talk. And you only discuss with rums, like Maryam or something like that. You can't talk. And this is ibadah? Nah, that wasn't what Rasulullah used to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came out to the khutbah and he saw a man standing out in the sun. He asked, who is that? They said, that's Abu Israel, ya Rasulullah. Abu Israel. His kunya, Abu Israel. He made another, ya Rasulullah. He took an oath that he would stand in the sun and that he won't talk and that he's going to fast. Before the khutbah, Rasulullah told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رُوهُ أَنْ يَسْتَذِلْ وَلْيَقْعُدْ وَلْيَتَكَلَّمْ وَلْيَتِمْ صَوْمُهُ. Because that number is from Islam. Tell that man to get in the shade and tell him to sit down and tell him to talk, but tell him to complete his fast. You make another in the ta'a of Allah, you can do it. You make another, when is ma'siyatullah, you can't do it. So all that other stuff not talking is not from al-Islam. So the point is, ikhwan, the lisan al-Nabawi was a lisan that used to be tawilu samt. He used to spend long periods of time listening what people had to say. Also, Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he has shared with us, he said, khadamtu رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 سنين فلم يقول لي لشيء فعلته لما فعلته ولا لشيء لم أفعله لما ما فعلته. He said, I took care of Rasulullah for 10 years. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came from Mecca to Medina, and Anas was 10 years old. His mother Sulaim Al-Aqila, she brought her little boy to the Imam of Al-Islam, to the Shaykh of Al-Islam, to the Nabi of Allah, brought the little boy to learn the deen. Ya Rasulullah, this is Anas. He's intelligent. Let him serve you. I want him to be your khadim. Intelligent lady. So Anas took care of Rasulullah for 10 years. From the time he was 10, and Rasulullah died when Anas was 20. Anas said, I served him for 10 years. He never said to me for something that I did, why did you do this? Nor did he ever say for something that I didn't do, why you didn't do that? Now for me, Ikhwan, being a father, being a husband, I can't imagine how that is. Because those of us who have children who are 10 years old, you're going to say to your son, why didn't you take the garbage out? Now it's going to be there for another week. How many times do I have to tell you, lock the door? How many times do I have to tell you, don't go to sleep with the gum in your mouth? You have to tell your daughter all the time because you keep cutting the gum out of her hair. Whenever your daughter or your son goes to open up the door and they're guests, you have to tell them, don't leave the door open so the people don't see your mother. Rasulullah never said to him, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? That doesn't mean that we can't say to our children, why did you do that? Why didn't you do that? But it means that the Prophet ﷺ was the perfect murabbi, and Rasulullah didn't go overboard, always rebuking the kid. That was the lisan and nabawi. So if the person has iman billah, then let him say what is going to benefit him. If it's not going to benefit him, then remain quiet. And he told us, min husni islam al-mar tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From a person's good Islam is leaving alone that which does not concern him. This brother, I've never met, I've never seen him before. So why is it that I take the time out to start saying to this brother about his affairs that have nothing to do with me? He divorced his wife. Did you know that he divorced his wife? And he divorced her for this. And it's not my business and it's not his business. And from my good Islam is leaving that kalam alone because it doesn't concern me. So think about it, Ahi. Take for yourself a companion, a friend, who, when you start talking, the kalam fariq, and the kalam that doesn't benefit, your friend is going to say, Ahi, that doesn't benefit us. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليسمو. Does that kalam benefit us? This hadith, ikhwan, is a minhaj. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him speak good or let him be quiet. That's a minhaj. with the lisan. And you all have to have a minhaj. You have to have a minhaj in tafsir. You have to have a minhaj in knowledge. If you don't have a minhaj and get a knowledge, your knowledge is going to be like Swiss cheese. Read a book over here, read the introduction of that book over there, then you put it down. Read this science over here for a week and then you put it down. You have to have a minhaj. After Salatul Fajr, I'll memorize the Quran. Then after that, I'll do a dua. And then after that, the Lord, I'll do this. And then I'll read that. And consistently tread upon your minhaj. This hadith shows us the minhaj of the lisan. What is the minhaj of the lisan? If you know something is going to be beneficial, then go ahead and say it. Salaamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. MashaAllah. Akhi taqillah. Ummi inni uhibbuki fillah. If you know the kalam is going to benefit, go ahead and say it. Talk about it. And if you know the kalam is going to be harmful, لا تتكلم. Don't talk. And if you're not sure, is this kalam beneficial or harmful? دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. Leave it for what you doubt. Leave what you doubt for what you don't doubt. Finally, Ikhwan, I want to share with you something that the Prophet told us about sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it relates to the lisan. We wouldn't have known about this had Rasulullah not told us about it, because it's from the ilm al-ghayb. And you remember this. Right now we pray so far Fajr. We pray Dhuhr. In front of us inshallah is Al-Asr Maghrib Misha. Everyone, at the end of the day, you should look at yourself and make the muhasabah of yourself. What kind of day did I have today? What kind of day am I having so far? You have to do that with yourself every day. Don't just live the life like an animal, no questions. Make the muhasab of yourself now. What kind of day was it today? This is the day that I didn't do too well, so I have to make tawbah. This is the day that I did pretty good, inshallah. I'm going to do similar or more tomorrow. You have to do what the Salaf used to do. They used to sit and make muhasabah of themselves. How was today? Well, I went from point A to point B to connect my relationships. And that's a tremendous thing. Or whatever. So at the end of each and every day, if you want to know what kind of day you had, then pay attention to this hadith, because this determines what kind of day we have. Rasulullah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ إِبْنُ آدَمَ فَإِنَّ الْأَعْضَى كُلَّهَا تكفر اللسان تقول اتق الله فينا اتق الله فينا فإنما نحن بك إذا استقمت استقمنا وإن اعوججت اعوججنا. Every day that the person wakes up, when he wakes up, a lot of things happen. He wakes up with three knots on his neck. If he makes the dhikr of Allah, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani, he makes the dhikr of Allah, one gets off. He makes the wudu, another one is off. He makes the salah, a third one is off. We wouldn't have known that if it wasn't for Islam. From what happens in the morning, when the person wakes up, all of his body parts, his toes, his fingers, his feet, his liver, everything in his body, all of his bones, his eyes, his throat, everything, his lungs, all of them say to his tongue, Ittaqillah, fear Allah as it relates to us. Because however you go will determine how we go. The way you go, how you act today, we're going to have to pay the price. Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, أَكْثَرُ عَذَابِ النَّارِ مِنَ اللِّسَانِ وَالْبَوْلِ. People will be punished in the hellfire for what? More than anything else? Because of what their tongues put forth, and because they didn't purify themselves. They didn't make a stinja. The new Muslim, he has to learn. And you brothers can't take advantage, can't take it for granted, that the new Muslim knows he has to make stinja. He's a new Muslim. Where does he know he has to make stinja? That's not in their deen. He doesn't even know how to make the qadha of his hajah. So we have to give nasiha to people. You have to let them know. Have classes for them. You have to sit down and clean yourself. Because if you don't clean yourself, it's a kabira from the kabair, and you have najas on, you can't make salah, and so forth and so on. So the lisan, ikhwan, will put the people in the hellfire more than anything else. The person says,
there's no Allah. How many right now our ummah is in need of al-bina? Our ummah is in need of building. But we're destroying, and we're destroying with the tongue. How many Muslims have given ahkam with their tongues that have destroyed? How many Muslims are on the minbar teaching the people bid'ah and shirk and khurafat? How many women have been divorced because of lisan? The woman has a lisan tawil, the zawja. So she talks, causing her husband to divorce her because she has a lot of kalam. Or the husband, he himself, he hears what the relatives are saying, what the people are saying, so he divorces his wife once, twice, and then he divorces her the third time when he didn't deserve it. She didn't deserve it. So now their family is split and destroyed because he got upset with the lisan. And he said what he didn't mean to say. The lisan and the ramifications of the lisan are making too much fitna in our personal lives and in the masjid. So, ikhwati fillah, everyone, take a look at what he's saying. And if you have a partner or a friend or a sahib who will allow you to talk a lot of kalam farid, just kalam, qila wa qal, and this one and that one, and he did that and this, did you see his car up, then know that is a companion who is not good for you. You have to have a companion who's going to say, that's not from our business. That's ghibah. Why is ghibah? Because you mentioned something about your brother in his absence, that which he doesn't like. So I just wanted to remind myself and to remind you, to remind my traveling partners, that as ashab, as brothers, those people who are together, do the right that you have over each other and be careful with what comes out of your mouth. Finally, again, here in London, we're getting a lot of issues coming to us there in Yorkshire. Fatawa that we're hearing here in London. Understandings that we're hearing that the Shabab are having in London. Ikhwani, we have to learn the religion of Al-Islam. We have to learn the basics of Al-Islam. We have to learn the correct aqidah in Al-Islam and the proper minhaj. If we learn the proper aqidah and the proper minhaj, we feared the Allah correctly because our aqidah is correct, and we knew the proper way of going about bringing back the masjid of Al-Islam, we won't have these crazy foreign ideas. Al-Hamas, emotions and being excited, is from Al-Islam. It's from Al-Islam. Harrad al-mu'minin al-qital. Make them want to fight. So Rasulullah would tell them, who wants to go to Jannah? And in Jannah is this and this and that and that. And the people that want to go, and he wants to fight. The khutbah is a place of being emotional. But judging every issue with our awatif, with our emotions and our aman, is going to destroy you. It's going to destroy our dawah. Someone wants to open up a bank account. Not because he wants riba, but to pay his bills, to save his money. He wants to open a bank account to make his life a little bit easier. He can't open up a bank account because, why? Because of what some of our brothers are calling to in the dunya, so that all of the madness that's going on, the kuffar are oppressing so many innocent people. Any day, someone's here, I don't know him, but because he has a shubha with the kuffar, an alamat al-istifham, question mark over his head, I come to this masjid, I give a khutbah. Because of the presence of that one person, they come and lock me up and say, I was connected with him. That's how it is now. And we give them ammunition. So the time is going to come, ikhwan, when Al-Islam is going to take over. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورا. That's the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla's Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he spoke, they used to believe him. بشر هذه الأمة بالرفعة والتمكين والنساء. It's going to happen. But, ikhwan, there's a process of making it happen. And it's not going to happen with ignorance. It's not going to happen with the wrong aqidah, the wrong minhaj. It's not going to happen with dhulm. shedding blood that doesn't deserve to be shed, passing ahkam that don't deserve and that aren't correct. So, al-ilm, al-ilm. But does that mean that we sit like this and that's all we do? We're sitting, we twiddle our thumbs? Nah, we don't, that's not our deen. That's not our deen. Getting knowledge is preparation for the bigger issues that we're going to be responsible in the future. So learn your deen. If you can't make jihad of this lisan, then what kind of jihad are you going to make? Afdal al-jihad. An yujahid al-mar' nafsuhu fi ta'atillah. The best jihad. But that doesn't take away from the other jihad that we believe in. But the land and the soil has to be correct for that jihad. Men, lam yujahid wa lam yuhaddith nafsuhu bil jihad thumma mata mata ala shu'batin nifaq aw shu'batin min nifaq. Whoever, he never made jihad. He's living right now. Never made jihad. Never went anywhere in his lifetime and he never made jihad. Nor did he say to himself, I want to make jihad. If the door opens up, I'm going to go and make jihad. He doesn't do that. Then he dies like that, just living for the dunya. He has died on a branch of hypocrisy. It's like hypocrisy. How can you be a man and a Muslim and say you love Allah, you love the deen, but you're not ready and willing to defend it? Because it has to be defended. So there has to be jihad. Jihad of al-Islam. The correct jihad. Not the jihad that's determined by Fulan and Alan and Bakr and Amr min al-Nat. No, it's the jihad that's correct. The jihad that the ulama of Islam, they say that this is jihad. Not determined by our awaf, our emotions. So take it easy, ikhwan. Let's get away from these fatawa that are crazy and these statements that are crazy. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who the only tawfiq is from him and with him and by him, to make us of those people who have al-ikhlas and al-isaba in our deen and in our dunya. And that he makes us of those people who are the uqala, those people who are murtabitun. They are connected with the real scholars of al-Islam, the good scholars of al-Islam, wherever they may be. The scholars who call to the kitab and the sunnah, who are the ulama al-rabbaniyun. So, if you brothers have any questions or comments, inshallah, concerning the khutbah today, or what we just mentioned about concerning the lisan of the makan of the lisan in al-Islam, inshallah, if the Imam Dawood doesn't mind, we'll answer those questions, or you can make your comments. Hal min shay, hal indakum shay? Asr is at what time? Actually, we have to get ready to leave now. I have to make it all the way over. That's why I stopped, to give you some time for questions and answers. If we know,
can you call someone who said marhum?
Can you call someone who's dead marhum? Now, you could call someone who's dead marhum if there is a text, a nafs, a dalil from the Quran, the Sunnah. All of the anbiya are marhumun. All of the rusul are marhumun. All of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are marhumun because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Radiallahu anhu. Even those who may have fallen into some mistake, they are marhumun. Maryam, the mother of Isa, is marhuma, and so forth and so on. If Allah and His Messenger said it, then that's the case. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu anhu, he was dying, and his mother came to his bed where he was dying, and she told him, be patient, Sa'd, because your place is al-Jannah. And Rasulullah heard her, and he said, Ya Umma Sa'd, wa ma yudriki? How do you know that Sa'd is going to Jannah? How do you know that? Maybe Sa'd spoke with one kalima that would put him in the hellfire. Sa'd is in Jannah. But Rasulullah was teaching us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nah, you don't know that. So, if there's a text from the Quran and the Sunnah that person is in Jannah, he is marhum. If there's a text from the Quran and the Sunnah that Allah is pleased with that individual specifically, he's marhum. But Other than that,
you can't say it.
We can't say that Al-Imam al-Bukhari is marhum. And he gave us the most authentic book in the dunya. But we hope, if we say al-marhum, insha'Allah, then it's a correct statement. If we say al-marhum, insha'Allah, al-shaheed, insha'Allah, but there are some people who this nickname, al-shaheed, is attached to them, and based upon the aqidah and what they said and what they wrote, that's not the shahada of al-Islam. That's not the shahada of al-Islam. So we have to be careful. At the same time, ikhwan, we have to also recognize the other side of the equation. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, if the Muslims say something good about another Muslim, if a Muslim says something good about another Muslim, like al-Imam al-Bukhari, he is Shaykh al-Islam and the Imam of the Dunya and the Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tilka bushra ajila lil-mu'min. That is the bushra that is, al-ajil. That is the glad tidings that's given to the believer, like before he died, before he goes to Jannah. Inshallah, it's going to be like that. If enough Muslims bear witness that this person is a good person, this is a bad person, then the shahada of the Muslims, inshallah, it will count. But ultimately, the reality of it is, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yarhamakallah.
Yeah. You see in the khutbah about something along the lines of our last action that we do before we die will determine our place in the akhirah. Can you just explain that a little bit more?
Now, this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam informing us that you do not have the right to look at people, because when we look at people and what is apparent to us, it may appear a particular way, when the actions of people hellfire or the opposite, we can't make the jazm and say, based on what we're seeing, this is what this individual is going to die upon, because there may be between him and the hellfire a handspan, between him and the Jannah a handspan, and the qadr of what was written over him overtakes him, so he goes to the place that was written for him. And he will find it easy. All of his life he was practicing al-Islam. And then suddenly, we don't understand why, he stopped practicing and he got progressively worse and worse. Because that was what was written on that individual. So the hadith is simply saying that when a person dies, he's going to die upon that thing which will give an indication of where he's going to be. If he dies making umrah or hajj, that's at this time. If he died making jihad in the battlefield, that's at this time. If he died and he was in sajda, as many of the ulama from the salaf used to catch heart attacks and die from making sajda, reading the ayats of Allah, that's a good thing. Inshallah, that's a good thing. But if he dies in a car accident, and he's listening to 50 Cent, or he's listening to Michael Jackson, or he's listening to Nawaz, or he's listening to some of those fasiqin wal fasiqat, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. He has to try to die and make sure that his khitam is upon what is the ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالِ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. He also said in this hadith about that man, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, pay attention to this, ikhwan. Rasulullah said about that man who was making all that jihad, when they told him, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَنْصُرْ دِينَهُ بِرَجُلٍ فَاجِرٍ. Allah can help his deen with a man who's a fajr. Elijah Muhammad, he said that Allah was a black man, that Allah had a mother, her name was Baby G, that Yaqub was a mad scientist who created black, white people, and they all devils. And Baby G put a stick of dynamite in the moon and blew it up, and then the earth came, and that Ramadan is in Christmas, and it's in Christmas, so we don't practice Christmas, and you can't eat peanuts. Peanuts are haram. Fulu Sudaniani is haram. And that is a man who's a kafir and a fajr. But Muhammad Ali became a Muslim through that da'wah. Malcolm X became a Muslim through that da'wah. Abu Usama became a Muslim, not from being with them, but being interested in them. So Allah can guide people by an evil man. Not a proof or an indication. Because someone is doing something that he's in jannah. He could be an evil person. Naam, akhi, Kareem. No, I didn't say that. Rasulullah said that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah said in an authentic hadith, أفضل الجهاد أن يجاهد المرء نفسه في طاعة الله. The best jihad is for a person to make jihad against his nafs in the obedience of Allah. In the obedience of Allah. And for that reason, إخوتي في الله, if you were to read the tremendous book that was authored by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, Zad al-Ma'ad, in the third volume, Kitab al-Jihad, he explained the levels of jihad. And he said the highest level of jihad is jihad al-nafs. Because without the jihad al-nafs, he's not going to make the jihad of the hadid. He can't get out of the bed to make jihad for making salah. He's going to go to the battlefield. He can't get out of the bed. She can't make wear the hijab. The man, he wants to establish the Khilafah al-Rashida, and it is an obligation to establish it, and it's something we all should want. But when he has a misunderstanding with his wife, a real story, he hits her upside the head with a teacup and splits her head. The news spreads. That information goes to the Imam and the Muhaddith of the Asr, of this time, Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman, Nasir al-Din al-Albani. Al-Albani rahimahullah, in giving the brother dawah and trying to help him to understand the importance of khilafah, he said, if you establish khilafah in your house and don't hit your wife upside the head first, if you establish it in your house, Allah will establish it in the earth. If he's established it, Allah will establish it in the earth. How? Just because we're in our home making the khilafah? La, meaning everybody practices Islam the correct way, the khilafah will be established. But how are you going to establish the khilafah and the way you're acting and understanding the religion is not correct? It's not going to happen. So, as it relates to the jihad of the battlefield, the Prophet said about that particular jihad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, ra'sul amr al-islam wa umuduhu al-salat wa dhurrat al-sanainihi al-jihad fi sabilillah. The Ra'sul Amr, the top of the affair, the peak of the matter, the top of the affair is Al-Islam. Ulama said, Al-Tawheed. One of our brothers has Ibn Daqiq Al-Iz explanation to 40 hadith of Al-Imam, Al-Nawawi. They said, Ra'sul Amr, Al-Islam, Al-Tawheed, the most important thing. And the pillar is Salah. And the peak of the matter is Jihad. Fi sabilillah. So jihad in the battlefield is the peak of the matter. It's the peak of the matter. But the arkan of al-Islam and practicing the arkan of al-Islam, they are the most important aspects of that issue, of our religion. When Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated the hadith, Buni al-Islamu ala khams. Islam has been built upon five things, and he named the arkan of al-Islam. A man sitting there who loved jihad said, what jihad fi sabilillah? Abdullah bin Umar said, radiallahu anhumah, al-jihad khayr, walakin hakadha, haddathana Rasulullah. Jihad is good, but he didn't make it a sixth pillar of al-Islam. It's five pillars, and jihad has been legislated to protect those pillars. Islam has been legislated to spread those pillars, to stop corruption in the earth. So, I am not saying that we believe in the fabricated hadith, that we are coming when they made jihad, they said they were coming from the battlefield going into Medina, and they said that Rasulullah said, we have come from the small jihad, now we're going to the big jihad. They said, oh, Rasulullah, look at us, we're wounded, we're dirty, what do you mean, the big jihad? We just left the battlefield. He said, the big jihad is jihad nafs. That hadith is fabricated, but the meaning of it is authentic because that's what Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are times when a circumstance presents itself where jihad
is the most important thing right now at that moment. Right now, this is not the time for Hajj. This is not the time for Zakat. This is the time to protect ourselves so we can make Hajj and Zakat. There are certain people that jihad is more important for them at a particular time or place. But these things are not determined by, again, our emotions. These things are not determined by how I feel and what I think. It's not determined by the kuffar do this, so we have to do that. It's determined by knowledge. Our religion is not a religion of fold-up, confusion. It is a religion of a system and organization. Now, any more questions, Ikhwati? Now, and then Akhuna.
Yeah, we talking about the Khilafah. Yeah, it's, as you said, we should ourselves do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, so that Allah will restore the Khilafah back to us, as this was those before us. But is it good to be, I mean, in a group when you talk about the Khilafah, you prepare the Khilafah, and urging the brothers and both Muslim men and women for the preparation of the Khilafah?
As for sitting to discuss about the establishment of the Khilafah, there's nothing wrong with that. For us to sit right here and with knowledge to discuss how do we bring the Khilafah, and we do it with knowledge. Allah said in the Quran, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. The ulama said about this ayah, this and this and this. And then the next brother says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in his book, As-Salam al-Maslul, Ala Shatim al-Rasul, the knife that's taken out for the one who curses Rasulullah, or curses any of the Anbiya. So he wrote a book about what should be done with that person. In that book he mentioned, Rasulullah, as it relates to the Khilafah, we can discuss this. Rasulullah was sent by Allah Azza wa Jalla. He spent 13 years in Mecca, 10 years in Medina. In Mecca, he did certain things a certain way. In Medina, he did things certain things a certain way. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, so, the Muslims, at any time, in any place, when they're living, and where they're living, they look at their condition. If it's similar to the Meccan period, let them work by the Meccan period. If it's similar to the Medina period, let them work with the asalib and the methodology that he used in the Medina period. If they're similar to the Medina period, why work with the Meccan period? If they're similar to the Meccan period, why use the Medina period? It's going to bring confusion. It's going to bring foda. So we're talking about the Khilafah from that angle. Nothing wrong with that. Khilafah is knowledge. Khilafah is something from the deen. Knowledge base. No problem. As-siyasatu shar'iyya. Written book. How to have an Islamic government and so. Nothing wrong with that. But what we reject is to sit together as a jama'at, munazzama, we are a jama'at, and all we talk about is khilafah, without any knowledge, and the khilafah is not in our physical appearance, it's not in our aqidah, it's not in, we're argumentative, we're people of jidal, all we want to do is argue and argue and argue about the khilafah. We want to praise those 19 people they said did the World Trade, that I don't believe personally, but we want to praise them and say that they're the magnificent 19, so that the kuffar come and give you problems, you problems, me problems, pull them and sit down. We have nothing to do with that. No, this type of discussion of khilafah is fawda and jahil. The leader who comes up with that kind of jama'ah, tanzeem, and that leader says, if you are a Muslim astronaut and you go outside of the stratosphere, you don't have to make salah. You don't have to make salah. Salah comes off of you if you're a Muslim. Why? The fiqh, crazy. It's okay to look at naked pictures. Nah, this is what we don't accept. Ahi.
Question, what do you mean? After
the Shahadi, Kalim al-Sahaba, Subhan Jai. Ah, no.
says another authentic hadith, after the jihad, كلمه الحق عند سلطان or imam jahil. The best jihad is for man to say the truth to a leader who is oppressive. This hadith has to be understood in light of other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, ikhwati fillah, ad-deenu nasiha. Qila lima ya Rasulullah? Qala lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi wa li a'immati al-muslimin wa 'ammatihim. Give a nasiha to Allah, His Messenger, and His Book, and to the leaders of the Muslims. So we have to give nasiha to the leaders of the Muslims. The oppressive ones, wa ma aktharuhum al-yawm. We give nasiha to the good leader and the oppressive leader. Someone takes this hadith, the best jihad is saying the truth to a leader who is oppressive, and they think that that means a number of things. They think that that means making khuruj against him. They think that that means making inkar upon him and the tashir of him in front of the people. And it doesn't mean that at all. In the sunnah of Al-Imam Ibn Abi Asim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of those books that show you the correct aqid and minhaj that you have to be upon. He brought the authentic hadith that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it explains this hadith. من أراد أن ينصح ذا سلطان فليأخذ بيده وليخلو به فإن قبل فبه ونعمة وإن رفض فقد أدى ما كان عليه. Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Abi Asim, Kitab al-Sunnah, Shaykh al-Albani said it was authentic. If anyone wants to advise the person in authority, the Sultan Jair, the wife wants to advise the husband, you want to advise the Imam, anyone wants to advise the person in authority, then take him by the hand and seclude yourself with him and tell him what you have to say. If he takes it, it's a ni'mah. If he rejects it, you did what was upon you. So the man is an oppressor, so I take him by the hand and I give him advice, knowing that I'm alone with him. And even if I wasn't alone, he can chop my head off. He can put me in prison. He can take my money. He can flog me. So I'm by myself and I tell him, hey, taqillah, this is not right. Help Islam. Help the Muslims. So the man kills me. That's the delil of my ihsan. That's the delil of my taqwa. That's the delil of my yaqeen. That's the delil of my being upon the sunnah, inshallah. That's the meaning of that hadith. That the best jihad is for you to say to that man what you said, but you say it in private. You don't say it in front of the people. You don't make, that hadith doesn't allow us to make khuruj against the imam. So Rasulullah's companion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had the most bravery, they used to be behind people who were oppressive. And we don't find them doing this like this. We don't find them doing that. And another thing that's on, we have double standards, especially the siyasiyun, the people who go just siyasa, and the people who go overboard. We have to stay away from the extreme. Double standard. If a hakim is praying on TV and they're showing him, he's praying and he's looking at the camera. The person says he's still a kafir. He's just doing this to sunnah. He's just doing that for the camera. Well, when we come into the masjid, we see your father, your brother, we see you also praying, looking around like that. Why is his not acceptable and yours is acceptable? Another double standard. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. He's a kafir, doesn't judge by what Allah revealed. Something happens, and you take the position of your qabila, you take the position of your madhhab, you take the position of your iman, you take the position of your hawa. That's not what Allah revealed, that judgment. Rolling over and not getting up for Salatul Fajr. When you have the ability, you wake up, and intentionally roll over. You didn't judge by what Allah revealed, and so forth and so on. Another manifestation of the double standards is this issue. Whoever wants to advise someone in authority, take them by the hand. You invite me, this brother, Abdul Hamid, this brother, that brother, we come to your house for Al-Ghada, and we're getting ready to eat, and you're bringing the food. Suddenly we hear a knock at your door, and it's your wife. And she says, Ikhwani, I want you guys to advise my husband. He smokes cigarettes, he stays out late at night, he does this, he does that, he does that. You're going to be so upset that your wife said that in front of people. You're at the kitchen table, and your children are there, and your wife starts saying to you, your children, your father, your uncle's there, and your wife starts saying to you, you're on the internet, he's talking to women on the internet, he's smoking weed, he's hanging out late at night, he doesn't give us any, and I just want him to fear Allah, and this is my sincere advice, and she's crying because she's giving nasiha to you in front of your kids and everything. You're not going to accept that, and rightly so. Rightly so. That's not the way the sister should give nasiha to her husband. Wait till those kids go to sleep. Don't let your daughters and your sons see you talking to your husband like that. That's not the intelligent lady. That imam, the father is the imam of his house, the sultan of his house. So why do you reject it to be done with you like that? And you're the imam, you're the sultan, but when it's someone else, the imam of the masjid. You don't like what's being done, you tell the imam of the masjid, the administration, you guys this, you guys that. La, ikhwani, this is not how it's done. You have to take the people by the hand and authority, pull them to the side, and advise them. Because if you don't, it's going to be fitna and corruption in the earth. It's going to be fitna and corruption in the earth. That's why we say, minhaj. What did the companions do? If they did it like that, then it's the best thing. If they didn't do it like that, then it's not the best thing. And if one of them or two of them did something a particular way, it's not a delil in and of itself. You have to look at what the other one did. You have to look what everybody did. If one of them did something and no one else said anything against it, that's a delil. So you can find from the companions all kind of things to practice. You want to practice mutah marriage today? You can find that. You want to practice some other things that companions made mistakes on? Radiallahu anhu, Abu Talha used to eat snow in Ramadan and used to say, this doesn't break your fast. But that wasn't the correct way. And other ones said other things that we don't accept because the one companion, when he says something, the other ones go against it. That's not a dili. Not a dili. We have time for one more question. Ikhwati fillah.
You'll be brave with that then.
Now?
You'll be brave with that then. Because it's time.
Okay.
Just quickly on a smaller subject, right? Basically, you mentioned the punishment of, say, like, if you say something out of place, right? But what punishments do you get if you don't say something that, like, say, on a smaller level, like, if you go to repair something at someone's house and you're doing a small repair, but to make your life easier, you ignore something else that could be possibly dangerous.
Listen, Ikhwan, generally I give you the general rule and you apply it the way it is most appropriate. Al-Hikmah in Al-Islam. Al-Hikmah is the Sunnah. Al-Hikmah is wisdom. But the scholars of Al-Islam, عرفوا الحكمة قالوا أنها وضع الشيء في محله. Hikmah is putting everything in its proper place. Knowing what to say, when to say it, who to say it to, how to say it. So hikmah is knowing when to be shadid, when to be easy. When to talk, when to be quiet. What to talk about, what not to talk about. Who to say it to, who not to say it to. So a man and a woman, they are not considered hakim or hakima until they can put everything in a proper place. Allah is al-hakim because He puts everything in a proper place. He made this one a Muslim and left that one as a kafir. He made this one rich and that one is struggling from day to day. He caused this one his wife is barren. She can't give babies. He let this one have 10 babies. This one has sons. That one has daughters. He caused and he allowed this and that. So whenever the Muslim is going through something, he says, whatever I'm going through, I have the ability to handle it. And Allah is al-Hakim. He made me poor because he put it in the right place. So based on that, the person looks at his situation and he says what has to be said. Sometimes hikmah, as I said, is being quiet. Sometimes hikmah is talking. Sometimes hikmah is giving a mu'idah. Sometimes that hikmah is making jihad. Sometimes that hikmah is having a debate. Sometimes hikmah is turning away and saying to them people who are juhal salam. Hikmah is determined by all of, and that's what I mean about al-Islam. And in contrast to hikmah, al-dhul is wadu'u shay fi ghayri mahalli. Dhul is putting things in their wrong place, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person, using shidda when it should have been ease, using ease when it should have been shidda. That's dhul. There are three types of dhul. The dhul that the person makes against himself. The person makes dhul against himself. The Prophet said, the hadith of Hudayfa ibn Yaman, لا ينبغي للمؤمن أن يذل نفسه قيل وكيف ذاك يا رسول الله قال يتعرض للبلاء لما لا يثيق. It's not acceptable for a believer to oppress himself, make him low. لقد كرمنا بني آدم. Allah made us with karam. They say, how does a person bring himself up? He said he puts himself in a situation he can't handle. He's in the Meccan period and he wants to deal with the Medina asalib. He puts himself low because now they can just come do what they want to do to us. He oppresses himself, makes haram on himself, women and ta'am and going to sleep, and he oppresses himself because he didn't put it in the right place. Or he makes the oppression of the other people. Inna Allah, Allah said in the authentic hadith al-Qudsi, Ya ibadi, inni haramtu al-zulma ala nafsi wa ja'altu baynakum muharrama fala tazad. I made dhul on myself haram. Whoever is going through a serious trial and tribulation right now, Allah did not oppress you. Be patient. Allah made dhul haram on himself. So don't oppress one another. And finally, the worst kind of dhul, the third and worst dhul, is the dhul that the third slave has to Allah. Yadhlim Rabbahu. Luqman said to his son, إِنَّ الظُّلْمِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكِ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is a great zulm. Ya Bunay taught his son the correct aqidah. He didn't let his son do the Christmas carols. His son is in public school getting ready to pray Joseph, the father of Jesus. His son is getting ready to pray one of the three wise men. And he goes to a school that's 98% Muslim. No, he has to go to that school and say, my son is not going to be in that play. Because my son has to know the aqidah sahiha. Isa didn't have a father. And we're not going to allow these people to think that that's true. And he teaches his son the aqidah sahiha. So, Luqman said to his boy, shirk is a serious dhulm. Shirk. That they asked, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu dhanb a'zam qad? And تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ. What's the word saying? That you make for Allah a partner and Allah created you. This is the season to be jolly according to those kuffar. Christmas, season to be jolly. So the person who doesn't have money from these kuffar ikhwan, he doesn't have money. I lived it as a Christian. He doesn't have money, the parent, the mother and the father. So they go and they take a credit card and they spend £1,000, money that they don't have. Sacrifice for their kids. And they buy a Christmas tree and they buy gifts for the kids, and now they're going to have to pay that later on. They don't have the money, but they make sacrifice for their kids. And then after purchasing those gifts that they don't have the ability to purchase, they tell the children, Santa Claus brought that for you. Who in his right mind is going to spend £1,000 on his child and then say, someone else purchased this for you? Who in his right mind? The father buys a car or a gift for his son, and the son comes and spits in his face instead of saying Jazakallahu khayran ya abi, barakallahu fik ya abi. He makes ghul. Allah created you and you say Isa is Ibnullah. Allah created you and you say that there's no God but Allah. And there's no God at all. That's the worst type of ghul. And I finish with the hadith al-Qudsi as it relates to this ghul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كذبني ابن آدم ولم يكن له ذلك وشتمني ابن آدم ولم يكن له ذلك أما تكذيبه إياي فقوله إن الله لن يعيدني كما بدأني أول مرة وأما شتمه إياي فقوله إن الله اتخذ ابنه بني آدم. He made takzeeb of Allah and he shouldn't have done it. Ibn Adam, he rebuked Allah and he shouldn't have did it. As for his lying, his takzeeb, it's his statement, Allah is not going to bring me back to life the way he created me the first time. That's a kedib. As for his shetam, it's his statement, Allah has a son. So we make zoom to Allah. He's given us all of this ni'mah and we don't thank him for it. So upon اتقوا الله تبارك وتعالى في أنفسكم وفي ألسنتكم تعلموا دينكم التعليم الصحيح واربطوا أنفسكم بعلماء الإسلام وابتعدوا عن هؤلاء المتكلمين. We have to know the difference between a khatib who can give a nice talk, a person who gives a nice class. We have to know that that is not a scholar in al-Islam. The scholar may give a talk that's boring. It's boring, but he is an alim. So we have to do what Aisha said. Umirna an nunazzila an-nas manazilahum. We have been ordered to put everybody in their proper place. That's hikmah. The alim is an alim. Khatib is a khatib. The imam of the masjid is an imam. And we have to deal with people accordingly. Connect yourself to the ulama of al-Islam and know them and stay away from those big issues that are causing us a lot of confusion and problems. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.